This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ninth inning, 5-4 Pirates, Bednar ready. And a 3-2 outside, strike three call, not close, but Contreras caught out on strikes on the fastball. The Pirates will take it as they beat Milwaukee and take the series 5-4. A nice come-from-behind win for the Bucs here today.
Indeed, it was a nice comeback win. The Pittsburgh Pirates on a winning stretch in the month of September. This is unprecedented, it seems. But the Pirates doing well in the month of September. Maybe I thought there were some flaws, too. I certainly had my skepticism with them sweeping the Royals. Okay, the Royals have the second worst record in Major League Baseball. Then they go and they win the series against St. Louis, and I'm like, all right. The Brewers are going to be the real test, and here we go. They win 2 of 3 against the Brewers. I am satisfied with this last stretch of games. The absolute biggest test, though, is going to be the Atlanta Braves. The Pirates are playing the Braves in a 3-game series in Atlanta, and the Braves are 90-48. They just lost to the Cardinals. That's just one game. But the Braves 90-48, leading the National League East, and that is by several games the best record in Major League Baseball. Pirates have a tough task. What the heck? They're not playing for too much more at this point. They're 12.5 games back in the division. They're far away from a wild card spot. So, hey, go out there and have fun. Expose your talents the best you can. And expose the weaknesses of the Braves, maybe, in the process. That's really all we can hope for. And I'm happy as well. I talked about this briefly the other day. But Miguel Andujar, continuing to swing a hot bat. He had an RBI in yesterday's win. So I'm thrilled that he's back in the majors. I hope they give him more of a chance in the future. I mean, I was saying that toward the end of last year as well, because he was doing pretty good. Couldn't quite find a stable position to start this year, but then they had him in the minors and he was tearing it up. They never brought him back up. They never gave him a second chance, especially with after Carlos Santana got traded, there is a vacancy at first base. But you can't go back. You can't change the past. But I am a Miguel Andujar supporter, and I will be indefinitely. So right now, the Chicago Cubs are catching up to the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cubs now 76-64. The Brewers 77-62. So that's that puts the Cubs a game and a half out of first place. And this is just something I want to use as a lesson for all of you listening out there that like to doubt. I talked about the other day that, you know, is it fun to play in Pittsburgh sometimes? And, you know, is just the constant negativity a good place to house, you know, good athletes or to encourage athletes to do their best? And I mean, they're professional athletes. They're making so much money that you could just use that excuse and say, well, yeah, I mean, they're making so much money, so, you know, who cares what the fans react like? The fans have a right to react a certain way. But also, we want to breed in Pittsburgh an encouraging and friendly atmosphere. I think that it's difficult, and I know as it relates to the Pirates, I know several of you are not always happy with how the Pirates seasons go, and that's fine. But, you know, the overreaction to Paul Skenes just kind of took me over the top. And also now looking at this, looking at the Cubs as a primary example of maybe why not to count your team out right away. So the Pirates were in that battle with the Milwaukee Brewers for first place in April and May, and then the Pirates lost that, but they were still ahead. The Reds went on a surge and then dropped off the map. Still over 500, but their chances at a playoff berth are dwindling. They've won 5 of their last 10. And the Pirates, who were in first place, are now in fourth. The Cubs are that close. Like, the Cubs were in fourth place once upon a time, and they were being counted out like late May, early June, that, you know, their playoff chances were not high and they were struggling. And now, the way they've performed, they're a game and a half out of the division lead. Like, the Brewers are going and giving it away. So as the seasons progress, and, you know, if the Pirates show signs of life and show signs of development that maybe give them more of a chance as they go through the season and don't just throw out all these negative comments and these sad comments, because I don't think it's not good for anyone, especially if you truly care about the team. Maybe you don't anymore, but that's on you. Now, I'm going to continue to care and talk about them as they go forward, but the Cubs are just another example. The Cubs were out. They were down for the count, it looked like, and, you know, they kept pace, and, you know, they kept strong, and, you know, Chicago fans can be insufferable, and maybe that's good for the team because it makes the team want to play better, and here they are now. They're in the playoff hunt. Realistically could win the division if they keep pace and eventually pass the Brewers. If the Brewers slip up, which they have all season. Nobody has seemed to want to win the NL Central this year. Everybody's just passing. It's like passing the torch. It's like those baton relay races. It's just, no, I hand it off to you. Now you take it. Okay, now you take it. Nobody wants to win the NL Central, and it's one of the weaker divisions. It is the weakest division in the National League. Both other divisions have at least an 80-game winner, and we already talked about the Braves winning 90 games. And, yeah, the Brewers leading right now with 77 wins. And let me just verify. Okay, that's the second weakest division of Major League Baseball behind the AL Central, with the Twins leading as the only team over 500 with 73 wins. The next highest team is the Guardians. They have 67. And then that's the division that houses the Royals with 44 wins. And the Oakland Athletics picking it up a bit from where they were, but they're 43-97. That's the worst record in Major League Baseball so far this year. And looking at just the stats, 19 away wins. That's terrible. Two of those are against the Pirates, though. Yeah, I remember when they beat the Pirates twice in May, and that was the start of the collapse. Many would argue. Either way, all right. Let's talk a little bit about let's just touch on McCutcheon's injury real quick. He is an interesting man, and I'm very glad that he communicates with the fans on social media and Twitter specifically, I saw. And by the way, this is the Fan Early Morning Show. It's the Wake Up Show. The Wake Up Show presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. You can apply online at 84lumber.com. So McCutcheon, I saw on X, formerly known as Twitter, who said that he first tweeted. So I was watching the broadcast, and Greg Brown, and I believe it was John Wehner or Bob Walk, picked up on Andrew McCutcheon. He swung the bat, and then he was favoring his leg a bit, and then he got a hit, and as he was rounding first, he looked like he was limping. Not extremely, but he looked more like he was still favoring that one leg as he was sprinting his way into second base. And then after he called time, when play stopped, he kind of tried to walk it off, and he still it still looked uncomfortable. He finished the inning, and that was, you know, then when he was taken out because of precautionary reasons. And he tweeted out, he posted, "I'm fine." And you love to hear that, and several fans love to hear that. 6.4 million impressions on Twitter would say that people cared. They were excited, and there were a bunch of comments, oh, McCutcheon's great. And then yesterday in the morning, I'm listening to the Cook and Joe show, weekdays 10 to 2 on The Fan. I'm listening, and Matt Cole, the producer, breaks the news that McCutcheon actually has a partial Achilles tendon tear, and that's going to sideline him for 6 weeks. But with the amount of time left in the season, there's like 4 weeks left in the season. So McCutcheon's been shut down for the year with this partial Achilles tendon tear. So, yeah, then he tweets again. He quotes his own tweet, and then he says, well, no, I'm not, with one of those sad emoji faces. He says, dang, this sucks. Yes, it does. I mean, I love and hate that we're in an age where players can just say whatever they want. In this case, I love it. I love that he can, and I don't know if he knew, like, he said he was fine. He said he was fine in a tweet. I don't know if he was just trying to reassure fans or if he actually thought that he was okay. And then upon further, testing and further diagnosis, they find that he actually had a bigger problem than he thought. I don't know. But I just found it interesting. It was that he tweeted said he was fine, and then, well, actually, no, I'm not. Good he's letting the fans know. Good he's addressing the comments that he's making, and that's one of the things I appreciate about McCutcheon as a Pittsburgh Pirate, is that, you know, he communicates with the fan and the fans, and he seems very much invested in Pittsburgh. So invested that he named his son Steele after the city of Pittsburgh. But it also bodes a bigger question. Should McCutcheon sign back with the Pirates, or should the Pirates be interested in bringing McCutcheon back for one more season? And you're welcome to call in at 412-928-9370 and voice your opinion with me. You can also hit me up on X. You can tag me in a post at Callas_33 is my handle. That's CALLAS_33. Use that handle and you can comment your answer or your thoughts. I will just give mine. I say that you bring him back. He's at 299 home runs as well. That would be a shame. That'd be a crying shame if he could not hit the 300 home run milestone. And I get it. I understand the concerns. Ron Cook was concerned yesterday while I was listening. His initial reaction was that, you know, what value does he provide? I think McCutcheon performs great offensively in Pittsburgh. It just seems like he has a little extra motivation to do well. And I mean, I guess the initial reunion made him want to play just that much better. He has the right mentality for a winning culture. I think he would be great, and not just, you know, the Austin Hedges version of a great clubhouse guy. McCutcheon can still bat. And the designated hitter in Major League Baseball, the universal DH, now makes and creates opportunities for McCutcheon to still be on the team. Great offensively. If you don't want to use him in the field, that's what it is, and that's understandable. But the fact that they can house him in that DH spot, I think makes for an excellent, excellent opportunity for the Pirates to bring him back and get that 300th homer and hopefully be one of those players that leads the team to a playoff berth for the first time. It'll be 9 seasons next year. I think it would be good for the city. I think it would be good for the Pirates. I think that McCutcheon can bounce back and be an asset to this Pirates team. I have no doubts that he very well could be. I had faith that he was going to do well when he came back initially. There's so many people saying, well, he's old, well, he's this, well, he's that. Well, there's still the factor that he is coming back and reuniting with a city that he's clearly fallen in love with, and that's something you got to take into account. Sometimes emotions bring out the best in players, and I know that there are many of you out there that just like the numbers, and that's fine. You like You like just going over the numbers and the trends and the basic stats, but like sometimes there are deeper meanings or there are deeper intangibles, I'll call them, to cliche that. There are intangibles out there that exist that you may not consider that actually contribute to a player doing better or not doing better. And I cited Santana, too, and I remember talking about this. Carlos Santana, who has recently played for the Pirates. Santana was great with the Cleveland baseball team. He signed with the Philadelphia Phillies on a 3-year deal, and he didn't even finish a full 2 seasons before they traded him back to Cleveland, and he went from playing mediocre baseball to being an all-star with that Cleveland team. I feel like there are several instances where that happens where you have a reunion, some not so spectacular, but McCutchen is a way different case. Got a caller at 412-928-9370. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Nick. This is Earl from Canonsburg. And I don't know if I'm imagining things or what, but wasn't there a position at one time where you had player coaches?
Oh, yes.
That would be a good slot for McCutchen.
You think he would be a good player coach?
Yeah, you know, you could rest them, you could do this or that and put them in on different scenarios, you know, and not beat them up so much.
That's interesting.
He is an asset to the team.
He is an asset to the team. It's a very unconventional thought, Earl. Thank you for the call. I do know that Pete Rose, when he was managing the Cincinnati Reds, and whether you want to remember that or not, that's why I learned because of him being on the Reds, Pete Rose, why managers wore jerseys and wore numbers, and it's because there were player managers where a manager could insert himself into the game. Like a manager was essentially a last-ditch reserve player. Like if your roster was empty, the manager could come in and play. And I think that is interesting. Definitely a rule from the times of more early baseball, daytime baseball, pickup baseball. But it is in the Major League rulebook, and that's why they wear jerseys. If you have a number, if you're wearing a jersey, you theoretically could insert yourself into the game. And Pete Rose, I think on a couple occasions when he was a manager, pinch hit himself into games. Very unique. Now, is that going to happen with McCutchen? No, probably not. Probably not. But interesting point by Earl. That actually makes me smile just to even consider something like that. That is interesting. Got another caller? Go ahead, introduce yourself. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Kevin in the car.
All right, what are your thoughts?
Well, you were talking about McCutchen, and it's an unfortunate situation with the injury. Hopefully it's not, if surgery's required, how long that timetable would take.
I think they just got to rest him. I don't think it needs surgery.
No? Okay, well, that's good news. That's a relief. Do you see him returning to the Pirates next year?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I definitely do think he could return to the Pirates, and I think it would be smart for them to bring him back. What do you think, Kevin?
I mean, I'm definitely pro for it. I don't know where he finished the season. I know he was very high in drawing walks, at least, and that was something that I thought, definitely gave value in that lineup, no matter where you put him.
Absolutely.
And I think it would obviously be affordable too if you wanted to be here. It seems like he does too. So that could be a win-win. I'm pro bringing him back.
Kevin, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, and that's what the broadcasters talk about all the time as well. They talk about that McCutchen takes professional at bats. He's not a free swinger. He's not putting all his chips on extra base hits and home runs. He's very patient at the plate. I think that's very valuable as well. When you have a guy like him that can get on base, and assuming that O'Neill Cruz makes it back and continues to be an everyday player in the Pirates lineup. I mean, that's what made the Pirates such a threat, that you have McCutchen toward the top of the order, and you have McCutchen working walks and being picky with his pitch selection, because the pitchers are betting that McCutchen's going to chase. McCutchen didn't chase. McCutchen gets on base, and now all of a sudden when you have runners in scoring position, even the bases loaded at times, and O'Neill Cruz comes to the plate, well, now you can't pitch around O'Neill Cruz, and, you know, he could take you deep. He could take you out of the ballpark. He's the extra bases kind of hitter now in that Pirates lineup. And the hitters protect each other in that instance as well, which is why I think Cruz was a huge loss for the Pirates this year, assuming he was going to do as well as we thought he would. So I think that dynamic of the lineup all works together, where if they pitch around Cruz, then they have to face guys like Reynolds, Hayes, and a McCutchen-type player now to an extent. But, you know, if McCutchen can take those, quote, professional at-bats, then he gets on base more often than not. And then you got guys up like Cruz and Reynolds and Hayes, and they can hit him in. I think it's very valuable. And that's a good point by Kevin, that he works the walks, takes those professional at-bats, those professional plate appearances, and gets himself in position to score, whether he's the one driving in runs or whether he's on base and, you know, ready to score. So, yeah, that's just one of many reasons that he should be brought back. If you have an opinion on this, you can call me at 412-928-9370. You can hit me up on X at @Callas_33, @Callas_33, and we can talk about it. Tag me in a post on X. Call me, and we can continue to talk about McCutchen later on. We can also talk about Nick Bosa, now the highest-paid defensive player in NFL history. RIP to T.J. Watt being able to say that. We can also talk about that as well, how that affects the Steelers' likelihood of winning on Sunday, what this means for the league with Nick Bosa now being the highest-paid player. We can talk about all that. Still talk about McCutchen. I'll take your phone calls up until 5:35, and I'll return after this break. You're listening to the Fan Early Morning Show, and this is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer is here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax. You can also check them out online at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 81, low of 70. Spots of rain all throughout the day. And if it's not raining, it's going to be overcast. So kind of a gray day today. Tomorrow, a little bit of a chance of rain. High of 80, low of 66, but you can expect the sun to come out a little bit as well tomorrow. That's Fan Weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's the Fan Early Morning Show, and I got a couple minutes left to talk to you. If you want to call in and get a line before time expires, you can, 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on X at any time throughout the day, and perhaps I'll respond, whether it's on this show or just in an X post form. I hate not saying tweet anymore, but Elon Musk. Okay, well, anyway, I'm not going to vent too much about that. Not going to waste too much more time. But at Callis underscore 33, that's C-A-L-L-A-S underscore 33, if you want to tag me in an X post. And I'll talk to you at any point in time. If you're interested in a topic and you want to respond and join a conversation, you're welcome to have a conversation with me about sports on X and here on the phone lines. Real quick, I cannot give you an accurate assessment of how much Nick Bosa truly impacts the 49ers' chances of winning the football game on Sunday. I will say, though, that I'm drinking the Steelers' Kool-Aid, and it doesn't matter who's playing for the 49ers on Sunday. I really do believe that the Steelers are going to find a way to pull it out, and I'm excited, and I really have no basis. Like, you could call in, and you could give your opinion, and I might have to agree with you about, you know, oh, well, this player is really good, and, oh, the 49ers have Brock Purdy, and he's got, you know, there's a great quarterback system the 49ers have, and Kyle Shanahan's a great coach. And you could say all of that, and you'd probably be right. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, I am drunk on the Kool-Aid. I really just I've enjoyed all the acquisitions that they've made in the offseason. I've loved how they've bolstered the offensive line. I love that Kenny Pickett's going into a full year now as the quarterback, hopefully, you know, barring injury, jinx, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, assuming he plays the full year, which he should if he performs well enough and stays away from injury, you know, him playing the full year is exciting. It's exciting to watch him and anticipate his first full season. So I'm drinking the Kool-Aid again. That's really it. I don't have any in-depth analysis for you, and you could bring a bunch of logic to the table and talk to me about it. But there's not too much that I could see where I wouldn't have faith that the Steelers could pull this one out. We got a caller at 412-928-9370. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
I'm doing a talk show. What's your name?
Will from Pittsburgh.
Good. Give me your opinion. 30 seconds. Give me your opinion.
I have the Steelers winning 24-17. Deontay Johnson will get the first touchdown of the Steelers season.
Will, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Love to hear that. And we got one more caller. You got 30 seconds. What's your name?
My name is Khalil.
Okay, give me your thoughts real quick.
I also have the Steelers winning.
Yes.
It might be a close game. I don't know really what the score will be. I don't think Kenny will light it up too crazy. I think he'll do just enough to win because, you know, the Niners got a stout defense. But I think we run the football effectively. And I definitely agree with the Deontay Johnson touchdown as well.
Yeah, thank you for the call. It's NFL season. The Steelers are going to win. We sure hope.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.